I'd like now to welcome to the program Bob Zimmerman. He is president of the Santa Fe Master Gardener Association, and Tracy Neal, who is a horticulturist, landscaper, and teacher. And we are here to talk about, among other things, the upcoming Santa Fe Master Gardener 8th Annual Garden Fair, which is this Saturday, the 28th of April, from 10 to 4 at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So first of all, what's a master gardener as opposed to a gardener?
Well, a master gardener is a person who's taken a 16-week course that's run from the extension service of the New Mexico State University. And it covers the whole gamut of gardening, and it's taught by NMSU professors and also local experts and teachers. And after that, you become an intern, and we do 30 hours a year community service on different projects around the city. And the idea is you learn by teaching. And it's, you know, we're not experts by any means. And it's a way of becoming even closer to a community of gardeners.
You learn, I take it, things that are specific to gardening in the high desert.
That's right. And we have people come to Santa Fe, and they come from different parts. They come from the East Coast, and they want to know why they can't grow the same things they grow here. And so even then, they may be master gardeners in Massachusetts, but they have to take the course all over again here because it's 180 degrees different.
What are some of the characteristics of the soil? I mean, obviously the weather is dry. We don't get much rainfall. We can figure that out. But what are some of the characteristics of the other characteristics of this soil and climate and weather pattern that you have to understand to help you garden better?
Basically, you have to understand that back east, the soil is where there's a lot more rain. The soil is different because minerals are washed out of it. It tends to be more acidic. Out here where we have a lot less rain, we tend to have other minerals that haven't been washed out. So people come here and they're used to throwing calcium or lime on their soil, which they have to back there because it gets washed out. Out here we're sitting on calcium. Back there they can have a lot of organic matter in the soil, 5 to 7%. Around here we're lucky to have 1%. So it's a whole different reality as far as creating a nice fertile soil here.
So by organic matter, you mean like dead bugs and compost?
Dead bugs. Basically, if you look at what's under the forest floor, it's decomposing leaves, sticks, and dead animals, and that turns into humus. And so since we don't have a lot of that happening here, we augment what happens here naturally by adding compost and other things.
Have you both been gardening for a really long time here?
I've only been here 5 years, and that's the first thing I did was to become a master gardener just to learn, because I've been a gardener all my life and just love it, and my family has been, and I knew I needed help. And so it's been really, really good to learn, and it's being paid off, because the other thing you learn is it's the healthy soil. It's not just fertilizers. You know, you can go to a store and you buy fertilizer and chemicals, and you think that's what you need to do, and it turns out that's it's not what you do, is you build the soil up.
And how do you build the soil up?
You keep working with it. If you're working with plants that are native to soils that have a higher organic content than ours, then you keep working to build the soil communities, which is the microbes, which is the billions of people under our feet here. Yeah, exactly. And they make fertile soil. So you keep feeding them. You give them carbon sources, you give them sugars, you give them various things that will help them build soil. It's not really up to us. It's up to all the creatures that live in the soil to make a good soil.
And so you make a soil that is then hospitable to worms and bugs and everybody else.
Exactly. Right. And then they do their job. And then they make it a good garden soil.
Right. And I think some people probably have to get past the idea that all these little creepy crawlers are not pests.
That's right. Absolutely. You've got all kinds of microorganisms, worms. You also have a lot of beneficial insects. And people think, well, I've got to spray because of bugs and all this. Well, you're spraying all the good things, you know. And if you cut down on all that, the spraying, you'll end up having a much healthier group of insects that will naturally take care of the pests.
What are some of the common mistakes that people make gardening here in this climate of northern New Mexico?
Well, trying to replicate a garden that they had somewhere else and growing plants that are just not going to make it
like
here.
Like what?
Oh, kind of water-loving plants, you know, they want to put it out.
Peonies.
They'll put a peony out in the right in the middle. Now, that doesn't mean you can't grow them here. And you may have a nice little niche. And a lot of times, a good design, perhaps right around your patio, we call it a little oasis zone. It's an area where you could water more because it's right there. It's shady. A peony could work, you know. It could work there. But then trying to create a whole garden full of eastern plants is just not sustainable.
California plants.
Yeah, or California plants. And your water bill will just be astounding. And
right.
I gave a class the other day and talked about and showed examples of landscaping planting mistakes here in Santa Fe. And I could show 1,000 slides of those. But what it boils down to is two basic things are at the root of most mistakes.
No pun intended.
One is not understanding the plant's needs and not putting them where those needs can be met. The other is not understanding the community's needs and not using the right plants to meet those. They all boil down to one or other of those two things.
What
usually.
Do you mean the community's needs?
Like right over there, where people have planted shrubs in a 4-foot wide bed with a wall behind it and a sidewalk in front of it. So what they need is something that grows narrow. And they planted shrubs that want to get 15 to 30 feet wide.
Ah.
So they go in with their hedge trimmers and they shear their little heads off every year.
Aww.
You know, it's one of those things where if you understand how plants grow and what they're going to do, then you can figure out which plants to use in that location.
And there's a lot of, no matter how good you are, I guess there's a lot of trial and error.
Absolutely, right. And you can learn all your book learning and go to all the lectures, but nothing beats, you know, taking what you learn, trying it out, and seeing what works. Because you'll be surprised what develops over time if you listen to your plants, you watch, you look at them. You just don't put them in and forget them.
Right. I mean, besides watering them and fertilizing them and mulching them, you also have to really see how they do. I have some irises, and they'll grow on one side of the driveway, and they won't grow on the other side of the driveway. And for the life of me, I do not understand why.
And you probably never you'll probably never know.
Yeah.
And they're saying something, and you just got to listen.
Right. And so it's really engaging in a dialogue.
Absolutely. I get up in the morning, and I walk around, and I just say hi to, you know, it sounds corny, but you just look at your plants and you just make, you know, walk around with your cup of tea and sit out and listen to the birds and look at the plants. And they'll tell you a lot. And if you just, unless you have a gardener, I mean, some people will have a gardener and they do that and they just want to have a beautiful yard. But I like the interaction with the plants.
Now, one thing that is amazing to me is that even though it's really hard to grow some plants, it's really hard to get rid of others. Bindweed, for example. Mm. If you leave it, it grows these sort of pretty morning glory looking mm-hmm. flowers. But if you actually want to grow other things and get rid of it, it's remarkably difficult.
Mm-hmm. It is indeed. Elaine Ingham was here recently. She's the premier soil scientist in the U.S., and she showed slides of a situation, an onion-growing area in Tasmania. And
Of
all things. And they had horrible weed infestation in the onion patches. And they were using all sorts of herbicides. They'd gone beyond Roundup to worse things. And the weeds just kept coming back. And she sprayed the patch with a compost tea that was specifically designed to help benefit the soil with organisms that were missing, and the weeds disappeared. I don't know if that'll work on bindweed. It probably would take a couple of years, but weeds tell us what's out of balance in the soil.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. so interesting. Mm-hmm. Wow, are there people who will come over and like tell you the answers? You have to figure everything out for yourself?
No, I do horticulture and landscape consultation all the time. And some things are obvious and some are not. So sometimes it is an investigation on your own. I urge people to become part of the ecosystem of the garden by understanding what their role is and learning how to fulfill that in combination with all the other elements in the garden. Part of that role is understanding what everything is telling you is going on in the garden.
We're talking to Tracy Neal and Bob Zimmerman of the Santa Fe Master Gardeners Association. And supposedly we're talking about the 8th Annual Garden Fair that's that's coming up on Saturday at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds from 10 to 4. So you, Tracy, will be giving a talk. Mm-hmm. What's your talk about?
The talk is about coping with climate change, creating landscapes that will thrive or at least survive reasonably well as the climate changes, understanding what's coming our way and understanding how to deal with that as a gardener.
So give us some examples of what you're doing.
So what I'm doing is I've used my tiny little yard in the city as a garden to experiment with for years, where I've put in things. As a landscaper, I'm always trying new things. So I've put in things to see how they grow here. Some of them want more water than I want to give them in the future. And so I am taking out some of my plants and replacing them, or not. But when I replace them, replacing them with more drought-tolerant plants. I'm basically building a more drought-tolerant landscape and incorporating more water harvesting techniques into my landscape.
What are some of the water harvesting techniques that you're doing?
They fall into two categories. Basically, there's passive water harvesting, where you direct water where you want it to go and you let it collect in the land. What I'm going to do in the future is put in an active water harvesting system, where I will take it off my roof, put it in tanks, and then pump it out onto the landscape later. Active water harvesting tends to be more expensive and take more maintenance. On the other hand, it can be adapted even to a tiny city yard if you know what you're doing.
And this is a good segue to our speakers that will be at the garden fair on Saturday. You can get more information for listening to Tracy talk about the landscape of the future. Our second speaker is Jim Brooks, and he will be talking specifically about water harvesting and how you set up your terrain around your yard so that the water just doesn't run off the roof, run off the driveway, and out. It keeps all the water. There are some people here in town who capture every drop of water that lands on their property.
Amazing.
No runoff. And our third speaker is Dave Salmon from the Santa Fe Greenhouses, and he's our sponsor of the fair. And we'll be talking on ornamental grasses and perennials for low-care landscapes. So all three of these speakers will be talking about how to make your yard more water-wise. In addition, there are also going to be a lot of exhibitors and vendors at the fair, local herb societies, the iris societies, a lot of information on community gardens. Homegrown New Mexico will have a booth there. You can learn about what they're doing and their wonderful tour they're giving this summer on local kitchen gardens. And if you have any questions about gardening, this is a great place to come. And of course, our famous plant sale. That's the big draw, and you can pick up plants with the knowledge, and there will be experts there. We'll have volunteers talking to our visitors about how to best take care of them. So it's not that you just go buy them and not know what to do with them. So you can come and really learn a lot about all the different aspects of gardening.
Now, it's a couple of weeks before the last frost, or so they say,
right.
And what are we supposed to do? We can't really put in new plants. In fact, my mom went down to buy some new plants, and they wouldn't sell them to her because they said, you can't put them in yet, which was wise. Okay, we'll go back, and we're glad for their good advice. But what are we supposed to do right now?
Well, it depends on the type of plant. There are many perennials that you can plant now. This is a good time to plant your perennials, some shrubs, some trees that are still, a while back when they were dormant before they were coming out. You can always plant those. It's the annuals and the tender perennials that are may get hit. For example,
okay.
You know, you don't want to put out tomatoes. It's a difficult time, and you can. Some people go to great lengths to get their tomatoes in the earliest on the block, and they'll build water. They call them walls of water, areas around the tomato plant that keep it warm at night, and they'll cover them over. And most times, it's just best to wait, because the thing with tomatoes is if they get a cold shock, they won't thrive. They'll sit there, and they won't do well. So it's best to hold out, even though a lot of the nurseries got all these wonderful flowers out there. You can still hold, you should hold off for that. And knowing the type of plant, it helps you. You can plant, like I said, the perennials. But
what about soil building and mulching and all those kinds of things? Do you do those now?
Oh, yeah. That's sort of ongoing. And if you're working with a new plot, depending on what the soil's like to start with and what you're going to grow there, you may want to work in some compost. You may or may not need fertilizer. But what happens once you get the soil building humus in the soil with microorganisms is keeping a mulch on it year-round is a real good thing to do. That helps build the biological communities really well if it's mulched year-round.
What's your favorite mulch?
I use a compost mulch that is made from mixed sources, i.e. green and woody sources. The two different sources, manure, green material, leaves, et cetera, those tend to favor bacterial communities. Woody materials tend to favor fungal communities. You need both for a healthy soil.
So that's why when you take some of that stuff home from the Agua Fria nursery, mm-hmm. it stinks in your car.
Not necessarily. Why? That's just one of the sources. You're probably dealing with a source that has manure in it.
It has manure in it.
But sometimes you'll notice that if you're digging around, you'll lift up some leaves and there'll be those white fuzz and all that. That's all the fungus, and that's really important.
The Santa Fe Master Gardener Association is on the web at sfmga.org. The Garden Fair is this Saturday and Saturday only. It's the 8th Annual Garden Fair, Saturday, April 28th from 10 to 4 at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds. And that's it's a big event. Lots of people show up every year.
And it's free.
Unless you want to buy stuff.
That's right.
But there will be several speakers, including Tracy Neal, who has been with us, horticulturist, landscaper, and teacher. And Bob Zimmerman is the president of the Santa Fe Master Gardener Association. And it's just great to have you on the air.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
I'm so happy now to welcome back to the program Xenia Victor and Galen Duke. They are founders and directors of the Bali Art Project. They are, as of last year, living treasures in the city of Santa Fe. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to be here always.
And Blythe Maunders is here. She was a student in the Bali Art Project trip last year. Welcome.
Thank you.
So the Bali Art Project, remind those listeners who have heard or those who don't know yet what it's all about.
Sometimes I think everyone in Santa Fe knows, but 13 years ago we started taking high school juniors to Bali for a month of June. We take kids that haven't traveled and wouldn't have the opportunity to. We've traveled a lot ourselves and noticed that young Americans weren't out looking at the world anymore. They were just going to college and trying to get ahead here. So this was a project to get them out, get them introduced to the world and wanting more.
Get them in their backpacks, get them to get passports,
that's
get them
right,
to learn how to pack
right.
a suitcase.
Or a day backpack.
In the case of Bali, get them to learn how to bargain.
Right, very important.
And things like that. So you take young people to Bali. Was this, Blythe, your first trip outside of the United States?
Yes, it had actually been my first time ever on a plane. I'd traveled around the U.S., but I'd never gone out of the country, and it was so exciting and refreshing and just amazing.
What were some of your favorite parts of it?
Oh, God, where to start? The food was just absolutely amazing. The people, just their attitude about life in general and the way they just put a smile on their faces and faced each day with happiness and thankfulness, it reminds you to just be thankful to be alive and realize that life is a beautiful thing that we need to appreciate.
It's extraordinary how much cultural differences affect just the way you go about your day.
Yes, it is. When I came back, I just had a different view on things. I looked at the world around me differently. It just from being in that different country for that short amount of time.
Now, why is it called the Bali Art Project? Tell us about the art aspect of it.
Because while they're in Bali, they all study with master art teachers. We study painting, dance, two types of musical instruments, and puppet making, shadow puppet making. The Balinese art is all based on their spiritual life. It's all offerings to the gods. So they're teaching their own children all the time, and therefore they're marvelous teachers. We sit in awe of what good teachers they are.
And so students take classes, and they also get to travel around and see the sights and all of that. Now, you take, a dozen people? No,
eight students every year.
And they are chosen by the previous set
students. That's right. Blythe and her group chose this year's group, and they did a good job. We have another wonderful group of 8-year. There are 4 boys, 4 girls. We always try to get from different schools. This year they represent 5 schools.
And in the Santa Fe area.
They have to be from the Santa Fe area because we do about 10 orientation sessions.
And they even learn a little bit of the Indonesian language.
Yes. And how to behave in another culture and what to be aware of. And
right. Now, you are having an art sale this coming weekend. Is that correct?
That's right. It's Sunday.
This Sunday, day after tomorrow.
From noon to 5 at our home. There'll be the artwork of the students and many people who have donated things to the project. So artwork of other people and arts and crafts, and we have a few things to auction off, like restaurant tickets and hotel.
Buffalo Thunder rooms and things like that.
Buffalo Thunder room, you know, nice. Martine, you know.
And so students are also participating in fundraising for the trip.
Oh, absolutely. They've written a lovely letter, sent it out to all the people they know. We've taken a photo of them. And they do a logo, they do a letter. They do a lot in fundraising.
And they do the fundraising because they are actually all, the trip is paid for once they're selected.
Right. We have to raise the money. First we choose them and then we all together raise the money.
But no one is responsible to raise their own fare. It's just as a group we do it very successfully so far.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you guys been doing this?
This is our 13th year.
This is your 13th
year. And we have Bali kids all over the world doing marvelous things.
So what happens is, and because you've been doing it for so long, you know this, that once the kids come back, they become pretty much to the last one world travelers.
Right. At least interested. If they don't travel, they're interested. And they're all taking things like the environment, law. You know, I mean,
they're taking on world issues.
World issues, right. Yeah. It's really impressive. We get letters from all over. It's marvelous what they're doing.
And it's amazing to be able to see people who were high school juniors 10, 12, 13 years ago and see what they're doing with their lives now.
Yeah, some of the first ones are 30 now, so it's quite amazing.
Very interesting. Well, the Bali Art Project is on the web at baliartproject.org. You can also reach them by email at baliartproject@earthlink.net. And if you have any questions, you can call here in the 505 area code 988-7209. The Bali Art Project 13th Annual Art Show is this Sunday from 12 to 5.
If they need directions also, we can give it to them.
If you need directions, you can call. Senior Victor, Galen Duke, and Blythe Maunders, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley.
I'd like now to welcome Diane Karp. She is with the She's the Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she is with us many Fridays speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Good morning,
Santa Fe.
Good morning.
What a fabulous week of arts and culture and other exciting presentations and programs we have in Santa Fe this week.
Hit us with it.
Okay, I'm going to start with one of my favorites, Axel Contemporary. This is an example of locals make amazingly good programming. This is a project with Jerry Wellman and Matthew Chase Daniels. two of our local artists who decided that one of the things that needed to happen was people didn't always have to go to the arts. They could figure out a way to take the arts to the people. And it's a project that deserves more than kudos. It's Axel Contemporary. It's a bread truck that they stripped down, fixed up, and they allow artists to take the interior and create exhibitions that can move around the city. And so the latest exhibition is called Jungle. It is a paper and wire and transparency installation by Laura Nickel and Brandon Soder. They're two local artists, and the exhibition is going to open with a little reception from 5 to 7 tonight on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, right at the Fine Art Gallery. And SFUAD is also going to be presenting Vision Fest.
Outdoor Vision Fest 2012.
So get yourself over to the Santa Fe University of Art and Design's campus, which also happens to be the location for the Santa Fe Art Institute.
Yes, indeed, but in those wonderful buildings.
We're quiet tonight, and we are supporting everything that Santa Fe University is doing. So the reception is going to be from 5 to 7. Get out there about 8:45. If you can't hang around, go back for a view of some of the amazing work that'll be projected on all those buildings out there at the university.
I love that. I love that there's work being projected on buildings and there's sound, and I'm gonna try to go over there later tonight.
We used to do a summer program that we've thought about reinstituting where we used our building as the surface for projecting short videos.
Yeah, it's such a perfect thing.
It's wonderful to sit outside, but I hope that they actually have the weather that'll allow for a comfortable walk and about.
As opposed to dust storms, smiling
crazy,
at me.
crazy wind, and we're praying for rain. I know that's a conflict, but we're always praying for rain.
Hey, let's talk. Can I interrupt?
Yes. Are we going to have a kitty cat?
Yes. Cat of the week.
Cat of the week.
Olivia. She's still a bit shy, but she's playful and affectionate, and with some TLC in her foster home, she is becoming more comfortable with people. She has a sweet face and medium-length white coat with beautiful calico markings on her head. And if you're interested in the Cat of the Week or any other cat, you can call Olivia. No, you can't call Olivia the cat, but you can call about...
You can call Olivia.
But she hasn't learned to answer the phone yet. She's working on that.
But she may. You never know what cats can do. They are wicked spies.
Wicked, anyway.
I have a friend who claims that her cat keeps charging things on her credit card.
Oh, my dogs have been doing that for years.
Well, I know that, but dogs are smarter than cats.
Especially Jack Russells.
Especially Jack Russells. Definitely not beagles.
Wait a minute. Oh, I haven't given the phone number yet.
Sorry.
505-316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com or you can look at her picture at fandfnm.org.
And that's not S&M. That's F&F.
And it's not S&N, which is spay and neuter.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, that'll come later. So there are some really nice exhibitions that are opening in the commercial galleries around town. Charlotte Jackson Fine Art, which is now at 554 South Guadalupe Street.
And looking good.
Has an exhibition called Dialogues in Steel, which is sculpture of Elliot Norquist and Jeremy Thomas. Reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. Jane Sauer Gallery, one of the great crafts galleries.
She's wonderful.
She's phenomenal. Jane Sauer is up at 652 Canyon Road, and she's opening an exhibition called Avian and Other Stories, which is Blown Glass Vessels by Noel Hart. Same time, 5 to 7, and that will be up through May 22nd. Most of these will run through the end of May. And the other one that's really... there are two others that are interesting. Llewellyn Galleries at the Rail Yard, which is 1613 Paseo de Peralta, is opening their Summer's Response. It's abstract paintings by Emily Mason. The reception is from 5:30 to 7:30. And Monroe Gallery of Photography, which is on Don Gaspar downtown, has an exhibition called Day Tonight, which is large-scale photographs by Stephen Wilkes. Their receptions are all 5 to 7, so you can literally wander from one to the other, get yourself over to the university campus, check out Axel Contemporary, and then hang out for Vision Quest.
And then after that, go salsa dancing at the Lodge.
You could go salsa dancing at the Lodge. In a very different direction, an absolutely remarkable phenomenon is the Teatro Paraguas.
Yes.
Which is one of the gifts to Santa Fe. It is a small theater group that has been doing remarkably interesting and very innovative presentations since 2004. And they were in this tiny, tiny little space that was off of Siler Road. But they're now in their new space, which is at 3205 Calle Mari. I love that they're on a Spanish street, because what they do...
Which is a stone's throw from their old space.
Right, but such a better space.
Oh, I thought it was exactly the same.
Oh, I thought it was a bigger space.
No, it was that their neighbors moved in and they were... I forget. I don't know, it was a jackhammering thing or...
Oh, my God. Okay.
It was a noise
but
thing.
But it is a very intimate theater space. I haven't seen the new one. And what Paraguas does is they celebrate Hispanic theater and literature. And they do it in most often in bilingual productions of work that seems to have faded into the past. So the work that they're doing now is called Fortunado. And it's a play that was written by a pair of brothers, Joaquim and Serafim Alvarez Quintero. And it was written around 1912. So it's 100 years from the creation of this work that remains vital and appropriate and very meaningful, even in the present moment, which tells us a little bit about how little has changed.
Yeah.
So that opens tonight at 8. It'll be at 8 o'clock on Saturday night and then at 2 p.m. for matinees on Sunday. And it'll run through... May 12th, if I'm not mistaken. So you can call 424-1601 for information or visit teatroparaguas.org.
Now, this is an Albuquerque event, but I just can't help but mention it.
You have to.
It's called Polar Bear Uprisings. Think of it as a flash mob with a purpose. Wear white, and they will provide polar bear masks. It's tomorrow at noon at the Old Town Plaza in Albuquerque. They're meeting by the gazebo. And it's for everybody, Arctic supporters, members
oh,
of
fabulous.
The Alaska Wilderness League, Sierra Club, Center for Biological Diversity, many others, environmental groups, and whoever wants to come. And basically, and the reason is that they're talking about Shell oils, drill ships are on their way to the Arctic Ocean to begin the most aggressive offshore Arctic drilling program in history. And they want to send a message to President Obama saying that's not a very good idea and have fun at the same time. So,
check it out. That sounds like a really productive activist thing to do with the arts. Another thing that's going on tonight that I think is really important is our three poet laureates, the first Arthur Z, the second Valerie Martinez, and our present one, Joan Logie, are going to be reading from the collections of their work 6 p.m. tonight at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium, and there'll be a reception to follow. And the idea that we are a city that has poet laureates is so wonderful to me. It makes me very proud.
I know.
We're a really arts progressive city, and we need to go out and support our poet laureates. So that's another thing that goes on tonight. And the last thing that I want to talk about is that at 7:30 p.m. tonight at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill is a group called Split Lip. And Split Lip is a group that was here a couple of years ago as an opening act, and they're coming back as the primary act. It's a combination of cowpunk, bluegrass. It's a really gifted ensemble, and one of the cowboy punk.
Right.
Yeah, and they have this upright bass that's made from a 78 Mercury Grand Prix. it's a pretty funky group. Definitely worth checking out if you want to see what's happening in the music.
And tomorrow from 9 to 11:30 here in Santa Fe's Keep Santa Fe Beautiful Day, the Rail Yard stewards and neighbors of the Rail Yard Park have organized a spring community cleanup. And neighbors will focus on specific residential areas. They're going to take away trash and hang out and have fun while they're doing it. It's you meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning at the Rail Yard Park Community Room for breakfast, goodies, and supplies.
It always amazes me that we're a tiny little town and we seem to be stepping all over each other. The other thing that's happening first thing tomorrow morning is a celebration of the Santa Fe River Restoration completion and the completion of the Santa Fe River Trails. It's a system of urban trails that have been developed over the last, almost 10 years that connects one edge of the city to the other. And from 9:30 to 11 at the corner of Calle Don Jose and Santa Fe River Road, there's going to be a festival. And it's going to involve cake and refreshments. There'll be blessings from a variety of religious organizations. There's going to be marimba music. There's samba fay. The mayor is going to be there to cut the ribbon. And when he does the ribbon cutting, to open and celebrate the restoration of the river. If you haven't been down to the Santa Fe River in a little while, you will be blown away. It is beautiful. And there'll be tree planting and arts programming, and there's going to be a bike and foot race. So
you had me at cake and blessings.
Oh, cake and blessings. You can't beat that. But I think it's wonderful for people to come down and participate and see and enjoy your tax dollars at work.
Rock, Paper, Scissors in San Busco Center is holding an Earth Month cut-a-thon on Sunday from 12:30 to 4:30. And the reason I'm saying this right now is because the money will go to that you spend getting your hair cut will raise money for river restoration efforts. And they are doing very inexpensive haircuts, no appointments necessary, and every dollar received will go to Western Resource Advocates and other nonprofit organizations helping rivers.
It's time to get your hair cut,
folks. It is, and it's certainly for me time to get my
Also on the 28th, there are other things happening. There's classical music, the Santa Fe Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. What a major contributor to Santa Fe's culture is going to be presenting a concert called Music of Mozart. But the most important thing is that they're featuring the pianist Conrad Tau. Conrad Tau is this uber-talented young man who is adept on not only piano but violin. He's a major composer. This is a young man that the Pro Musica group have been supporting for years, and he's not even 20. He's one of those phenoms. So have the opportunity to go and see him on Saturday night at the Lensic. And the other thing that I want to recommend is Saturday evening from 5 to 7, before Conrad Tau is performing, at 309 Reed Street, the Lannan Foundation Gallery is opening an exhibition called Transparent. But it's more than a metaphor of the varied work there. It's a 50-year retrospective of work from the Lannan Collection.
Oh, wonderful.
They've got
amazing artwork.
They have amazing artwork there. The head of their program, public programs, Christy Mazuera Davis, is a very gifted curator.
Indeed.
And I think that it's an opportunity for us to go and see important work come together, and also to be able to support the Lannan Foundation that does so much to transform the quality of life here in Santa Fe.
Hey, did we talk about Raising New Mexico, the work in progress film screening at Tipton Hall tonight at 6?
No, we didn't, because it's not the public.
Ah, okay, never mind.
But if people want to swing by and poke their nose in, it's going to be a screening that Little Globe and the Santa Fe Art Institute are presenting together.
Oh, okay.
It's an artist in residence for the last 3 months has been editing what is basically 2.5, almost 3 years of work out in the field in rural New Mexico, teaching young people to make films. But this is a rough cut, and I was told it was not open to the public.
Oh, well, I got a message from your publicist anyway. All right, but here's another thing. Tonight from 4 to 7, at the B.F. Young Building here in Santa Fe, 21 and under, Adelante Art Fundraiser. Drawings, prints, paintings, and sculptures are all $21 or less, and proceeds go to helping children, youth, and families experiencing homelessness in the Santa Fe Public School District. They're going to have open mic for poets and singers. And for more information, you can write to Israel Aros at Water Hummingbird House at gmail.com or call 470-3747. And it's at the B.F. Young Building, which is 1300 Camino Sierra Vista near Cerrillos and St. Francis. Once again, tonight from 4 to 7, and a wonderful group
Adelante
to support.
Yes, Adelante is one of those organizations that has transformed the quality of life of individuals in our community who are living at risk. And these young people in the public schools are definitely important to us and need to be supported, and we need to support Adelante so they can do what they do. On Saturday, Southwest Care Center is having their fourth annual Closet Ball. It's a drag show fundraiser that's going to be at the Lodge at Santa Fe. And you all know where that is up there.
It's the place you were salsa dancing the night before.
Exactly. So if you don't get home, you'll be able to just hang out until 7:30 the next night. And if you do get home, think about going back to support Southwest Care.
Now, Ignite is a Wise Fool New Mexico event.
Absolutely.
Oh, you were. Diane has a smile on her face, which tells me she was going to.
Go ahead. Get started.
Wise Fool and volunteers and community participants are taking part in a giant puppet procession tomorrow. Convene at the Old Borders in San Busco at 11 o'clock. And I guess the procession begins at noon. It's going through the rail yard and the farmers market to Rail Yard Park. Puppet making for the kids, or as they wrote, the kid in you. And for more information, 992-2588 or wisefoolnewmexico.org.
Wise Fool New Mexico every year, since 2010, presents a big spring program called Ignite. And it invariably is preceded by a month or a month and a half of large-scale puppet-making workshops. So this is the culmination of several months of work. They welcome all of the public to come and join them. And if you start in the morning at down on the Santa Fe River trails, you can ride your bike or walk all the way up along these beautiful trails and river restoration to the rail yard and participate once they get the procession to the rail yard, or join them over at San Busco in what used to be the bookstore and proceed with them.
Friendship Bridge, a micro-lending organization, is presenting its annual fundraiser, Dessert with Desiree, tonight at 7 o'clock at the United Church of Santa Fe on Arroyo Chamiso. Desiree Mays will be talking about the upcoming opera season. There will be a silent auction and dessert, and all to benefit Guatemalan women with their efforts to start businesses so that they can support their families.
Absolutely, and just another plug for the Master Gardeners of Santa Fe. That's 10 to 4 on Saturday at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds out on Rodeo Road.
And then don't forget to go salsa dancing at the
Lodge. And then go salsa dancing at the Lodge, absolutely. On Sunday, there's some wonderful talks that are going on that people need to pay attention to. I might mention that, obviously, Conrad Tao is going to be performing at 3 p.m. at the Lensic again. So if you miss him on Saturday, you can hear him on Sunday. And it's worthwhile. New Mexico History Museum has a wonderful exhibit. And the exhibit is really about images of faith. And Kurt Giddings, Ed Rainey, Janet Russick, Sharon Stewart, and Don Oster, who are major photographers, who are Santa Fe locals, whose work is in the exhibition, are going to be participating in a panel discussion talking about the work that's in the exhibit, Contemplative Landscapes. Another thing that's going on Sunday, and that's at 2 p.m., Teddy Wayne, who is an award-winning author of Capitoil,
and I was supposed to read that book and get him on the air, and I'm sorry that I didn't.
Well, but here's the chance for people to go and hear him speak. At 3 p.m., he's going to be at Peterson Student Center in the Great Hall at St. John's College. St. John's has transformed into a real community member.
And they have.
And it's talk about a turnaround. Over the last few years, adding to their music on the green, they've been doing the most extraordinary array of brilliant talks and lectures. And this is an opportunity to hear Teddy Wayne speak about his research in the sort of capital system that is based on petroleum-based projects.
Right.
Another thing that's going on, so that's at 3 p.m. 2 p.m. was Don Usner and Ed Rainey and the others. And then at 11 a.m. in the morning on Sunday, if you want to get up early, at Travel Bug, Zelly Poland,
Yes, I had her on the air.
Yes.
She's brilliant.
She is brilliant. She is a gifted journalist who has traveled around the world and put herself in places that just stun and amaze me to report and bring back to us the truths of what's going on in these difficult areas. At one point we did a, talking about projections on the outside of buildings, we did a projection of her images from Iraq.
Oh, right. Yeah, she did that project with a photographer and interviews.
Exactly.
Anyway, she's doing a thing on Cambodia at the Travel Bug on Sunday morning at 11.
At 11 o'clock, and it is definitely worth checking out. Let's go out and support the great gifted locals that we have.
Now, I'm going back at night because I am nonlinear. Bollywood Club Invasion Dance Party for the AMA Center of New Mexico fundraiser to benefit the center's homelessness project with DJs Dynamite Soul and Aztec Soul, improv media artist Agramzu Aparna's Bollywood Dance Class, and Wild Divine Dancers is happening tomorrow from 7:30 to 1 a.m. at San Busco Market Center. For more information, you can call 660-0445.
Bring your belly muscles.
Bring your belly muscles.
Okay, on Monday, in concert is going to be Active Child, an L.A. performer, Patty Grossi. It's a performance of electronic music, including Balam Akab, who's opening for her at 7:30 at Santa Fe Soul Stage and Grill. And I have to tell you that Rob DeWalt wrote a beautiful piece about them. It made me want to run out and check them out.
Excellent. Hey,
Tuesday,
big
May
shout
Day.
Out to Rob DeWalt.
Big shout out to Rob DeWalt. I love listening to him. So Tuesday is May Day with all of its implications. And
its implications is a labor holiday, first of all.
Exactly. So for those of you who are interested in developing a kind of activism, there are going to be all kinds of workshops that are centered in the Occupy Santa Fe group, who are no longer physically occupying Santa Fe, but are still intellectually and emotionally and socially and politically trying to keep us aware and engaged in participatory democracy. Wednesday, the 2nd, Tara Jones, the author, is going to be reading from the book A Road Trip, A Photographer's Journey to America's National Parks. Beautiful, beautiful publication. That's at Collected Works at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. And another thing definitely worth thinking about is a monoprint workshop. It's the second of two all-age workshops that's presented by the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in coordination with their Jean Quick to See Smith
Look
exhibition.
Look at this. We're already out of time.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, wait a minute. One more thing. Tribute Trio CD goes live April 28th. That's tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the Center for Spiritual Living.
How did that happen?
I know. How did that happen? It's a CD. Well, go ahead.
And Thursday, Muse Times 2 Poetry Series at Collected Works at 6 p.m. Local poets, go and support them.
And also, I was just going to say, the tribute trio is John Rangel on piano, Michael Glynn on bass, and Cal Haynes on drums. Then at 9:10:88. For more information, you can go to tributetrio.com. I did not get to read everything, and it is always really frustrating, but that's life. And
it's all either in the PASA or in the Reporter.
That's
Everyone
true.
Can find these things.
Read your PASA, ladies and
read
gentlemen.
Read the local journals. Read the newspapers. Support them, too.
And go to Beals and Abate Fine Art to see more horse pictures by Lynn Pomerantz. Okay, we got to go.
Ciao.
No, we've been listening to Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at KSFR.org, podcast at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to .foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook.com/RadioCafeMC. And my email is RadioCafe@KSFR.org. Please write to me, Diane Karp, Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Thank you for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Peace.
And we'll see you salsa dancing at the Lodge.
You bet.